Okay, sweetie, we ready to do this?
I've been ready.
Okay. Reporting live from the beating heart of Nutmeg Country.
Cable actuated and opinionated.
This is Alt-Bike Now.
Alternative radio.
For alternative cyclists. I'm Ronnie Romance.
And I'm Aria Gardman.
Gardening, I like that.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for tuning in to WKY Jelly.
All right. That joke has...
It's going to continue.
That joke has left the building. Please.
All right.
Make a good joke once and it just haunts you.
Speaking of good jokes, I should apologize for...
Should.
I mean, I'd like to say it's because I was so caffeinated last episode, but, you know, I think we really hammered that point home during the episode. But,
what,
you know,
apologizing
for talking over you so much, sweetie.
Well, let me talk over you.
Yeah.
Actually. No.
Okay. Yeah.
You have time for me to do that.
So, you know, I'm going to try and be more conscious about that. Not try. I am going to be more conscious about that because you do have so much to say. And I oftentimes just get, you know, overly animated during the recording of these podcasts because they are so much fun for me. And part of the fun of this is having these conversations with you. And if they aren't conversations with my beautiful sweetheart, then... And what is it? We're just another podcast, I guess.
Yeah.
So I want to apologize. Am I a good male ally now?
Ronnie Romance, male ally. No, I forgive you. It's fine.
Okay. Well, shall we get into some news here, some headlines, or should we go? Do we want to go?
Well, no. I wanted to bring up some new contributors.
Oh, right.
Because we have three this week. We have Jacob Croft, Robin Priolo. Sorry, Robin. Robert. let me start again. It's Jacob Croft, Robert Priolo.
Is that French Canadian?
I don't know. They've got a little doggy emoji, but yeah. Priolo and Angela.
Who has a maple leaf next to their name.
Yeah.
So that could be a French Canadian.
Yeah, it could be.
But wow, we're big.
Thank you so much for Jacob, Robert, and Angela. We can now pay for our broadcasting for the podcast with our supporters, which is sick.
That's right. All of your money goes to WKY Jelly.
And there's even enough left over per month for Ronnie and I to go get an ice cream.
Go get an ice cream at Honeycone in downtown Chester, Connecticut, the Paris of Nutmeg Country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I was drinking tea.
Letting you talk.
Well... Anyways, all right. Enough of that. Enough of male ally Ron. Let's get into the headlines. We've got the first thing that popped up on my Instagram today when I opened it was that Lata Kopecky and Axel Merckx got married 2 days ago.
When did we talk about this?
I don't remember.
Like
it was one of the podcast casts, but I thought they were just girlfriend boyfriend, but they are properly married. So Axel Merckx is the son of the cannibal Eddie Merckx, legendary Belgian rider. And he is 23 years, Lata Kopecky Sr. And yeah, Ronnie's like, I think the man is just trying to get himself a son with this, like, super athlete.
Shit.
Yeah, this is some Game of Thrones shit. Like,
yeah, you're
House Kopecky with House Merckx combined.
Know, that's a big thing. In Belgium, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, this is the national sport of Belgium. So you have a character like Eddie Merckx and you have a character like Lata Kopecky. I'm saying a character like Eddie Merckx, Axel Merckx, of course, raced.
He was always
just the domestique. He was like, he was Floyd Landis's domestique on Phonak in the year after Lance retired the first time. And so he was part of that whole doping scandal with Floyd Landis of Floyd's of Leadville, if you're into CBD.
Yep.
So it's interesting to think. What you said, Axel had two daughters.
One is 25. Oh, so Lata's 30.
and who was this with?
It's with some like his first wife who was like a triathlete. Yeah.
So, you know, Eddie Merckx, if he's got any taste.
Do you know what I say to triathletes? Try being an athlete.
Oh,
and pick one sport.
good. Maybe we'll have t-shirts someday, folks.
I doubt it.
So yeah, you know, you could think of like, oh, Eddie Merckx's son has two daughters and it's with a triathlete. He's really letting his dad down. And so, you know, I could see Merckx the elder just being like, fine, make me a son.
We need a boy.
We need a boy.
The eldest boy.
We need a boy cannibal. And so I guess Axel is still just trying to please his father.
Yeah.
A lot of us guys can relate, you know.
Congratulations, whatever, male ally Ron. Last week was caffeinated Ron. This week is male ally.
I'll try to think of some more cringe things to say.
That'd be great.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, moving on. Congratulations to Lotte Kopecky, who does look very happy. Happy for you, girl, whatever. I know you're tuning into this off-bike podcast.
Yeah, non-cis white males around the world. White girls around the world.
Uh-huh.
We just want them to be happy too, because we're in
solidarity. We just want people to be happy generally.
Yeah, we're in solidarity.
Everyone should be happy, but especially queers on Pride Month.
You thought that.
I thought she was gay.
So there's a lot.
I loved her when she was gay in my head.
Yeah, there's a lot of disappointment in this whole story. Yeah.
It's okay.
Things aren't always what you think they are. We make up our fantasies, don't we, on Instagram?
We sure do.
We make up our fantasies.
Yeah. Okay. Well, whatever. Because other news is that the women's Giro has ended. Yesterday was the final stage. And what a stage it was, right,
it really was, yeah.
It was so emotional at the end because in the final stage, Elisa Longo Borghini, who is the Italian national champion this year.
And former winner, right?
And she had the number one pinned to her back. So she's won it the last, I think, 2 or 3 years in a row. I know it's definitely 2. So a beloved rider, you can tell. And she is like very emotive and had one of the best interviews where I like teared up and clutched my heart at the end of this because she's had a pretty tough season. She's had sicknesses throughout the classic season, which kept her away from some of her goals this year. And she was just saying like, I didn't think I was going to come back from this. I thought that cycling was over for me, and she was crying and crying, but the win, like, ugh, I could see that win over and over again for her. So stoked for her.
She won the stage.
She hasn't won anything in a while just because she's been sick. And when I started watching the games, this women's cycling like 4 years ago, she was winning everything. Mm-hmm. And I loved to see her ride.
Uncle. She had a good uncle.
No, that's Elisa Balsamo.
I'm saying she didn't have as good of an uncle as Elisa Balsamo to kick Demi out of the race so that she could win.
Demi didn't get kicked out. It was Lorena Wiebes
who saying, got kicked
but out.
I'm saying, but if she had, if she had an uncle like, I get these two names confused, the sprinter.
Classic.
Yeah.
Yeah, doesn't know the names.
Don't know the names, but the Italian sprinter. Who was in pink for...
Elisa Balsamo.
Yeah, Elisa
Balsamo.
She's
got that braid
But she was the one with the uncle that was in the mob that got...
This is Ron's special story that he came up with. Just because in like the interview when she won stage 3, she was like, dedicating this to my uncle because most people dedicate their wins. Well, Elisa Balsamo...
Point taken. I mean, there's some mafia shit going on here.
Okay, that's one of the conspiratorial takes of this women's Giro, because there was a lot of excitement. The Colle di Finestra stage getting cut wicked short because there were avalanches, and I think it's a good thing, but they went from having like 30 plus KMs to go to like 6. So really exciting. Again, I would tune into the Wheel Talk podcast. They have been covering this stage to stage every single day, and they have really cute like audio journals from the pro riders that send them in, and they play at the end and in the beginning. Hearing Italians try to say Wheel Talk is so cute because like they can't say it. They're like, Wheel Talk podcast. Like, it's really
what
cute.
What kind of accent was that?
I don't know. That's how they say it. but there's also a great audio journal from Allison Jackson, who I'm a really big fan of. She's not on Team EF anymore, but...
Canadian, so she speaks English.
Lovely, entertaining. Like, I'm I'm hoping that she goes into announcing down the line because she is thoroughly entertaining.
More famous for her Instagram and TikTok reels.
Oh, right. I thought you were talking about her sensational breakaway Peri-Roubaix win a few years ago, but
we've seen that that was, yeah.
She's a breakaway queen, but the breakaway doesn't win as frequently in the women's Peloton as much as others. But anyway, the women's Giro was sensational to watch. Demi Vollering ended up taking the pink jersey on the last stage, and now she is the second woman to have all three Grand Tour jerseys. She's got the pink, the blue. She's got the pink, the yellow, and the red.
The ochre. The ochre is the Australian one.
Yeah. The Tour of Australia.
Wonder when, you know, the Tour of Australia, it is, I believe, seven stages also. I could be wrong.
It was only like three or four last year.
Well, they are doing it at the same time as the men's this next year, which is, you think otherwise, but there's been a lot of, like, that this has been what the riders have been wanting, so they could have the people out on the course still, like, running their races the same days as the men, like they do in the amateur ranks, I guess.
I don't know.
But it's a lot of running around, I guess. But okay, so I mean,
I
loved watching that Col di Finestra. Did I say that right? Col di Finestra, which is an incredible climb in Italy that turns into dirt. And I know I've watched it with the men's before. I just was nodding out the whole time because I just don't recall the men being on that much dirt. Like, it seemed like half that climb was dirt.
Yeah.
And they stopped a K from the top, but it was a beautiful looking climb. Like, I wanted to be there. Like, I wanted to be right
there. We're definitely going to do that someday.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to do that climb. It looks sick.
Yeah, it was amazing because there's some helicopter shots where they're on the gravel climb, and like it's insane the gradients that they're doing these like paces at. But anyway, they got this like kind of winding ribbony dirt that they're climbing, and then there's this like gorgeous waterfall that they're kind of like paralleling as they're riding up. And that's some of my favorite stuff on the bike, is like going really slow because you're going up a climb and like getting into that like rhythm of your breath and the pedal, and then also keeping your eyes really open and noticing everything.
I love road bikes on dirt. Like, just the image of that always looks really cool. It harkens back to the past of when all of these passes were unpaved, really until the 60s.
I kept saying, like, that's gravel that they're riding on.
Think of that in the context of, like, road prior to, you know, the last few years where the tires have gotten significantly larger. So, you know, you think about, like, riding, like, you know, 700 by 23 tire pumped to 120 PSI on this stuff, and it's super sketchy, but, you know, most of these riders are on tires that measure, you know, 32 to 34 at this point, running at, like, you know, 50 PSI. So it's like, you know, they have a completely different sensation. And I personally love, and I can almost sense it as they were climbing up that. I love the sound of gravel underneath the tires when you're climbing and you're in a quiet, I mean, they're not in a quiet headspace. They got a helicopter over the top of them. But out in the backcountry, just riding on like a gravel switchback climb, and you're in the zone, and the sensations are like everything is raw, is heightened, you know, and that sound, I can just listen to that sound, and it can just lull me into my rhythm and just keep on going for hours. Kind of put me there watching that stage. And that is really why we watch this stuff, you know.
Yeah.
One of the reasons.
Yeah. Amazing.
The other stuff, of course, is...
Speaking of amazing things, women doing amazing things.
Women doing amazing things. Lale Wilcox, folks. Lale Wilcox.
Never heard of her?
Never heard. Likely you have. Lale Wilcox currently holds the women's record for riding around the world. How many days is that?
I think she did it in...
Well, don't hold us to that.
But don't hold us to the numbers, but she beat Jenny Graham's record by like a significant number of days. I want to say like 7 days or something. Mm-hmm. Jenny Graham was a Blackburn Ranger with me. She's Scottish. and really, really amazing. So she wrote a book called But First Coffee about her attempt. So if you want to know about that, just do that. She's also really inspiring, like a mother and just a very joyful person. So it's fun to see Lael break her record and then this year go for the overall record.
She wants the overall record this year.
Which is at 78 days set by some dude. And Lael is going for 75 days. She's trying to beat his record
by riding we'll get into as I click through the website here because I can't remember it all. We're gonna she started yesterday in Chicago. I want to go over the route right here. Hold on.
So
she started yesterday in Chicago, and she's instead of going across the U.S. like to New York City where they flew out the previous attempt 2 years ago to Europe, she is going north from Chicago along the Great Lakes into Canada. Ever heard of it?
Nope.
Above us? Well, we have a number of Canadian supporters. Canada. Into Canada, across Ontario, not across Ontario, but around the lakes through this big, you know, you oftentimes forget how big Canada is. When you open it up on a map, you're like, holy smokes. She's going through New Brunswick to Nova Scotia. I've ridden a few times in Nova Scotia with my mom and sister after I graduated college a number of years ago, and it was beautiful. So, you know, a flatter route. So they're picking much flatter routes, which is smart. And because, of course, going across the Appalachian mountain chain through, you know, Massachusetts or Vermont. Actually, they didn't do that because they went down to New York. Even going through New York, through the Catskills or the Adirondacks, you got some hilly terrain, you know. So once she reaches Nova Scotia in just a few days, she gets over to Europe and has like a really nice ride through Portugal, Spain, France, Deutschland, and Poland, Slovenia, Hungary, Romania, Serbia, Bulgaria, and ends in right before on ends in your mom. If your mom lives in Istanbul, or is it Constantinople? Constantinople? Yeah. All right, so let's hit up the live tracking here. You know, folks, we're going to be following the live track. We're going to be following this.
She's trying
journey.
To average 240 miles a day.
And the first day, I was one of the first kudos on her Strava yesterday.
Okay.
And that first day, she got, boy, I wish we had this in front of me. I guess I could always.
She had, she's ahead of her pace right now.
Ahead of her pace right now. The first day she rode like 280 miles. Mm-hmm. So I'll find that somewhere else. She rode 280 miles that first day. So right now we have there's a great her website, LaelWilcox.net. You can find, they've put in a great, I guess Wahoo is paying for this whole thing. She's got some great sponsors.
Because part of it was that the last guy who had set this record had a,
silence that notification.
Yeah, calm down. So he had a budget of like $500,000 to do this because you could only imagine the logistics.
Oh my God.
Whether it's like visas for going across, airplane tickets, like, and the everyday stuff of like.
International travel is way more difficult now than it was when this guy.
Arguably. Yeah. But so she needed to make a bunch of money or fundraise for this.
Yeah.
And it looks like she's got, you know, REI, Komoot, Specialized, SRAM, Rafa, like just Wahoo. The tracking is
Revelate Designs.
Revelate, of course.
Thule. I want to shout out to Thule. That is a Connecticut-based company. Thank you.
Land of Steady Habits.
Shout out Travis Stevens, my old manager at Cycles of Madison in the 90s. Been working for Thule for like 30 years now. Shout out Travis.
Oh, yeah. I met Travis. Yeah. Anyways.
Seymour, Connecticut, folks. Seymour, Connecticut. Come move to Connecticut. Work for Thule.
Connecticut is the place to be.
We also got Cannondale, folks. Not sponsoring this. Okay. I want more friends.
That Connecticut has. John Mayer's from here. Rivers Cuomo, born here.
President Bush. he does watercolors now. People like him. Let's see. So Lael right now, this is insane. So this is kilometers. That's why. So she's between the 500. She's like 570 kilometers in already in a day and a half. And I know she started yesterday. It's only 10:30 in the morning. So she's going for it, folks. So yep. Follow closely either on lailwilcox.net or right here at Alt Bike Now.
Yeah.
Turn your dial to.
We'll definitely be following.
Turn your dial to that jelly.
This is so cool because it is such a like ultra endurance mountain bike camping is like such a strange thing. You know, like
she's not doing any mountain biking, I don't believe.
I'm just saying.
But like, her background. Okay, I'm getting that look. All right.
If Ron starts interrupting me, I'll just start saying male ally over and over again. Male ally. It's just such a strange and peculiar sport for strange and peculiar folk. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to see someone with, like, you know, a personality who's very relatable, is good with people, being, you know, a huge ambassador for the sport and doing it during Pride Month because Lail's married to a woman is like pretty sick too. And she's finally talking about that, which is really neat. All of this stuff, like the combination of all of these ingredients, makes this a really interesting thing for both mm-hmm. me and Jannie. Ronnie's good friends with her, so he has other reasons. But for me, it's purely like the societal impacts of seeing a badass woman beat records for really tough, gnarly stuff. Yeah,
I think it really shows. I mean, a lot of this is because of how, a lot of this is because of how tenacious Lail has been with all of these records and just coming up with new ways to wow people over the years. But it's, you know, I can remember not long ago, her and I living in Tucson, and I was living off the fad of Specialized, and she was still not supported whatsoever from Specialized, just like bikes. And she was trying to scrape together a living and just being, and she had just started dating Rue. Rue had worked for a paper up in Alaska out of college, had just gotten their first, you know, reporting job. And got canned right away as all those local papers are shuttering. Mm. And so this is, you know, pre-pandemic stuff. But, you know, it's just cool to think of like that time when they were just busting their ass working at like two different pizza restaurants in Tucson, just trying to like put together a living so that Lail can maybe race the Tour Divide or something like that, you know, or afford to do what she wanted to do in the summer seasons. So with that, good segue.
It's pretty awesome.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah. It's really awesome. And I could remember her commiserating about Specialized because I was having trouble with them too, just trying to get them to pay up with our invoices and things like that. And she was just like, when am I going to be on Specialized? I was like, Lail, I was like, you're going to be.
Well, she's a Specialized darling
she's
now.
She's a Specialized
she was
darling now.
I was on like, the Specialized
podcast. Once they actually realize this, like, you're going to, like, you know.
But she's had to work really hard for it.
Really fucking hard. She had hard. To,
I mean, because they're interviewing people like Remco and Demi and Lorena and Anna Vanderbreggen. Uh-huh. And then here's, like I was saying, just, like, around, like, a roughneck group of people who are following ultra endurance races.
Right. And it's become such a big thing now.
It has.
Become such a big thing. And it's not only, like, gravel cycling and, of course, that's become a big thing, too, but, like, ultra endurance, like, bikepacking stuff. I never would have thought this would have become a thing, but there are a lot of people out there that love to do this shit, and it's really marketable.
Included.
Yeah, you included.
Yeah, and I love the hard stuff.
Yeah, and I so I could just, you know, Lail's trajectory she's a star. She's made for this, and I really, really, of course, we wish her the best on this journey, and I have no doubt that she will reach her goals. So this is going to be an exciting dot watch. So.
So the cool thing is that Lail started this attempt this week. This Friday, this upcoming Friday, is when the Tour Divide starts. Mm-hmm. This is the ultra endurance bikepacking race that starts in Banff, Canada, and goes all the way to Antelope Wells. It's 2,745 miles along the spine of the Great Divide. I mean,
And it's like a 90% off-road route.
It is. And it is beautiful. Aria, me, has attempted it twice. And It's my white whale, but I love seeing the tour divide stuff. It's
Are you
like
a dot watcher?
I'm not necessarily a dot watcher, but it is really cool to see that this sport, this part of the bike world is like very active, and every year the record's being broken.
Yeah, it seems like
The
every single year the at least the men's and women's record is pushed to
Yeah,
the
for
next
sure.
level.
I
And
mean,
things get more and more optimized. I suppose the gear is more purpose built. There's it, you think of when even when Lael did their first attempt, and did they? I believe they when they broke the record for the first time for the women's record. It was on a basically a a $1,500 hardtail mountain bike with a bunch of bags strapped to it. There was no, there, you know, it was very primitive still 10 years ago, as far as the gear went. And we've just seen, I mean, not only in professional road racing, but in all other aspects of riding, we've seen so many technological improvements in the last 10 years. And I like to get, as an alt cycler, it's really, it's, fashionable to be a naysayer to everything, to every technological improvement. But the proof is in the pudding. We've got, we've got some people that are just pushing the absolute limits of what the human body can do on a bicycle, and you really can't do that without a hefty dose of science.
Yep, we like science here. We like
In this
science.
household, we believe in science. How's that for, was that a male ally thing?
Male ally Ron's at it again. So the current records for the Tour Divide, Austin Killips on her individual time trial broke Lael's record. She holds the overall women's record at 14 days, 23 hours, which is to me like mind-boggling.
Yeah, wow.
Alexandria Houchin, shout out to her, former pen pal, lovely, lovely writer and rider. She's so strong. She holds the single speed record at 18 days, 18 hours, which is to me also insane. She broke her own single speed record in 2023.
That's how nobody gets their feelings hurt. You just keep on breaking your own
Your own
records.
record. No, I think people who have records maybe
They
secretly
don't have
want
feelings.
they can't. Like all those feelings have been burned away. So those are really cool things. Last year was the fastest men's overall record at 11 days, 19 hours.
Jeez.
Yeah, that beats the one that Lockie Morton did.
Eat
That
what?
didn't count because he had a camera crew. He did it in like I think 12 days. So that even beats that attempt that
Wow.
wasn't even counted.
Wow. I didn't realize
And
that.
yeah, and the single speed record for men is 15 days and 8 hours, which someone who owns a bike shop called Sincere Cycles in Santa Fe, New
Bailey
Mexico,
Newbury.
Bailey Newbury
Shout out,
is trying
Bailey.
to beat that this year, the single speed record. And if you want to see a bike that looks great, look at Bailey's bike for this,
Rel yeah,
because
relative, like you think of it in the terms of what other quote unquote rigs of the Tour Divide look like,
please, no.
which we'll get to a little bit later. Bailey's is, yeah, it's a,
It's
yeah,
beautiful.
it's.
It looks like he's set up the way that I would set myself up if I was to do this again.
Yeah, what would your setup be if you were to do this again?
So just to con for context, the first attempt that I did in 2021 was we couldn't go to Canada because the border was still closed for COVID, the northern border to Canada. So I was on the Romancier that year.
The disc romancier?
That's the only
Yes, the one you
Romancier I
have. Yeah.
have. So that's the one I was on with, chest, the frame bag, like
Small chest up
small
front,
chest up front. I
frame
had that
bag.
Tibet frame bag.
What do you have in the rear?
And I can't remember. I think, oh, I had the Akatanga
The little
C2 bag,
tiny
the
butt rocket.
small butt rocket. And I thought that was pretty good.
Not
I
a
think
seat,
the
not a C2 bag. You hate C2 bags. This was a butt rocket bag, which we also hate, but this one was tiny enough that it didn't look offensive.
yeah. Yeah, it was fine. And I remember my bike weighing in at like 53 pounds with water, like, which is pretty good. So then my second attempt, I got.
So how far did you make it on that one?
Okay, yeah, the first one I made it, I think, to somewhere in Colorado, in northern Colorado.
Oh, that was in that
And then
was
you came and picked me up because I was like, I'm done with this
that was a
bullshit.
yeah that was I
I
mean
tied some Tibetan prayer flags at the top of a pass, and then I knew I was done. I think it's the mental stuff that got me. My physical body and my bike was fine, but mentally, it's just so lonely out there.
So
So lonely,
lonely,
so lonely,
so
alone. Anyway,
lonely.
the second attempt in 2023 was on the first
Oh, the
Alumalith,
Alumalith. Yes.
and I had some technical issues there because my mechanic, male
It
ally mechanic, had
was a
a
fill. It was a fill. It was a
fibble
Philwood bottom
Philwood bottom
bracket,
bracket that
and I
didn't
couldn't
get.
find my Philwood bottom bracket tool. So I put it in with something funky, and I mean, how bad could things get? Well, they got pretty bad. But luckily, Jordan was out there, another
Yeah,
male
Jory
ally.
Gomez.
Joey
Yeah.
Gomez was out there, and he was able to back
Help me
out
out.
the cups enough so that
But
the crank didn't rub the frame.
the second time, I did really well, but I made it to like the Tetons, the Grand Tetons.
Wyoming.
Yeah, before when I was like, I think I want to be
Because
done
that's
here.
right before that long stretch across the Great Basin, which is really what
Which,
takes out a lot of riders.
yeah, because when it gets muddy, it can get pretty
Muddy
gnarly.
or windy. Oh
It's
my God. It
always
was super
windy.
windy when I picked you up at that gas station. You were like, "I ate a hot dog."
I'm out of
I
here.
was like, "Okay." Things must have gotten pretty bad. I remember
Ate two hot
you smelled
dogs.
like hot dogs and
Cigarettes.
yeah, cigarettes, and because you had been inside a smoking place, and all, but also the laundry detergent from using like Tide in like the and so like all your stuff smelled like really strong of detergent.
You become a different person
You do. I was
on
like,
the out on the Shorter Ride Trail. It's it
God.
is yeah, it like I said, it is my white whale. I will be back. I will be watching this. It's a really exciting summer because boy oh boy, do we have
It's a big
so much
difference
going
between our
on.
riding styles. Like you, I like to just ride every day and not make it like a big deal. I guess because I want to ride for the rest of my, well, I don't think it's really even conscious at this point. I just love riding bikes and need to do it every day, and I don't want to ever be sick of it. And you love to ride until you are absolutely sick of
Yeah, I'm like that
it.
kid in Matilda where Miss Trunchbull is like, eat the chocolate cake, and he has to eat this entire like huge cake. That's me perpetually.
Yes, it is.
My pendulum swings in both
extremes.
like to the extremes. I love it.
Or I'm
You're an everyday.
a moderate.
Of course you are. And I'm a progressive. So that's our major difference, and that's his major fatal flaw as a white male ally, because you can't
Guilty.
be neutral on a moving train.
But yeah, it's true. I could try my darndest.
You certainly do, and I do love you. You are
I love you too.
treasure. I treasure this.
Oh,
Anyway, that's a really fun thing. Moving on to some sad news.
yeah. So speaking of some treasured bike love, Charlie Cunningham.
I'm gonna be my home.
Yeah, Charlie Cunningham. If I'll give a little context, Charlie Cunningham of Cunningham Cycles, part founder of WTB. Before it was sold to whoever owns it now, mountain bike legend. You could even call him the godfather of gravel because he, 1978. If you go and look on the Radivist right now, there's a bunch of stuff on all of his accolades. But his first prototype was essentially, it was a 26 inch, positive rise stem drop bar gravel bike, for lack of a better term. He's got all the modern stuff on there. It's even one by, folks.
And what
He,
year was that?
this was 1978,
Brilliant.
aluminum. Of course, with any lover of aluminum is a lover of Charlie Cunningham. myself included.
Any lover of bikes.
Any lover
really?
Of bikes. This guy is a gentle soul, a genius, and just contributed so much. I think, as John on the Radovus put it, we lost a Prometheus level bicycle person this past week. He had had the last few years, the last 10 years of his life were tenuous. He was test riding a bike that he had made for his wife, Jackie Fallon, who's equally as famous for riding his creations to victory in the early, I believe she won 3 Norba Nationals, which was the Norba was the National Off-Road Mountain Bike Association. That was a big deal in the 80s and 90s. It no longer exists today. And yeah, she's just these two were Fairfax, California eccentrics, had lived there their whole lives, came up in that whole scene. They were, Charlie, I believe, was 78 when he died. So, you know, still lived a full life. But yeah, again, the last 10 years, he had a crash on somewhere in Fairfax, hit his head somehow. He was wearing a helmet. Hit his head somewhere and just kind of was never the same afterwards. So there's been a GoFundMe up ever since that incident 10 years ago, because Jackie and him did not have much savings. They were just kind of living by the seat of their pants. Jackie in particular, she formed the Wombat Women's Off-Road Mountain Bike Association, and they would do their tea parties. And she was very integral in getting a lot of women into the sport back in those days by being such a community expert. I don't know.
Community-centric person.
There you go. And, you know, they were eccentrics, as in she
just thought outside of the box.
Thought outside the box. And, yeah. You know,
in like a weird, maybe. I don't know.
Who knows? Yeah, some ways. But I can recall, I mean, this isn't Charlie related, it's Jackie related. But, for me, I read something that Jackie wrote in the Wombat's website. As a good male ally, I read the Women's Off-Road Mountain Bike Association's publications.
Chapeau,
my
homie.
And she had a whole, from her health class in way back when, she had a pie chart. And it said that, you know, in health class, they were like, oh, these are all the things in modern life that you need to have, a house, a home, a family, this, that, and that, a car, a house, a home are the same thing, a car. And this is how much you're going to have to work, how many hours a day or a week you're going to have to work to afford these things. And her aha moment was, well, what if I just don't have those things? I don't have to work. And that was my whole spiel for the first at least 5 years that
for
your 20s
and
30s.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's just an interesting way to live. But then, you know, when things like tragedies like this happen, you're kind of left without and you're of age, aged, you're, you know, you have fewer options.
Yeah. That's a perfect philosophy for 20 and 30 year olds.
Yeah. So that's why, why we have so many businesses now. So yeah, you know, it's tough to lose such, you know.
If you want to know more about Charlie Cunningham or Ugal on his bicycles, check out theradivist.com. They have some lovely, lovely pictures and videos. There's that really cute video of him and Jackie wishing someone a speedy recovery. And
yes,
Charlie had made that little device that's like on every
part.
Yeah. That little chain tool that like screws and then you can.
A chain breaker.
Yeah.
So what's on every, like...
It's on every single, multi-tool now. So
Crank Brothers multi-tool.
Usually on the Crank Brothers. So it was cute seeing him, like, explain how that works.
93 or something that was made?
92. Yeah, 92. It was really sweet.
A little peek into alt bike past.
And in Tibetan tradition, we mourn people's passing transitions for 49 days. So for 49 days, we're going to think about all of the amazing things that Charlie Cunningham has brought us.
We're going to ride some aluminum bikes.
We're going to ride aluminum bikes. We're going to break all these chains with our chain breakers.
That's right.
We're going to turn every bike we see into single speeds out into the wild in celebration of
chains.
Charlie's life. Yeah. We're breaking chains. All right. That's what we're all about.
Okay.
Thank you, Charlie, for the limbic stem.
Yeah. All sorts of stuff. Tashi Dennis, a collector and rider in Boulder, who I had the pleasure of seeing his secret stashes throughout you know, a few years ago when I was visiting. He's got a lot of cutting hams. He's got Tashi's 29er, the only 29er cutting ham. It was actually Charlie's personal bike.
Yeah.
He's got one of those.
So,
he's,
again, he's definitely check out the Radivus for all of this stuff. You mm-hmm. are going to want to zoom in. You're going to want to
scratch and sniff if you can, if you got one of those types of computers.
Yeah, yeah. So long, right.
long live Charlie Cunningham. Long live.
Oh, money be moving.
So
back to
something lighter.
Real life report backs.
What about we're not doing pee problems?
Well, pee problems is kind of part of the Giro Finito thing.
I think this is just interesting. Gossip. If we want to continue on our pee talk, since we can't have an episode without pee talk.
All right, pee pee poo poo it is. So the Giro fined 6 people for peeing.
In the women's. So it's not just their equal opportunity.
Finers. So they DQ'd 2 riders for a sticky bottle situation, which is like, yeah.
Were they fine. Holding on to the sticky the bottle car. While they were peeing?
No. This was separate.
Okay.
But in one day, they had disqualified 2 people and fined 6 people. So 6 people were fined 1,000 CHF.
It's all Swiss francs.
Yeah, Swiss francs for, quote, damaging the image of the sport by peeing.
Where are they supposed to pee?
So the people, I mean, it's like the people that got fined were Nee Fisher Black, Elisa Balsamo, Bella Holmgren, Celia Jarry, Ali Wollaston, Silke Smulders. Like, these are all people who perform really well.
So where are they supposed to pee? You know, I guess in the past, they've always just gone off the side of the road, popped a squat, and now you're getting people complaining about it.
I guess so.
I mean, as long as they're not taking a dump, if you got to pee. If you got to take a dump, then you should probably go a little bit off into the woods or find a restroom. But
yeah,
if you're going to pee in professional road racing, you can't. The Peloton doesn't stop. Like, you've got to pee, or you got to chase back. I've always wondered.
I thought that, you know, people are just peeing in their chamois, but
not everyone likes to do that, I guess.
Because the Peloton stays together as a group. Yeah, yeah. Like, so you're
peeing all over. Everyone's peeing all over. But, you know,
so last week with Taylor, we were talking about how people were peeing on their chain to keep them greased.
Oh, that's true.
No, Shout out to Taylor. That was great.
Right, to get the mud off the chain during Unbound, people are peeing on their chains.
Yeah. This is why I'm saying, like, okay, these women need, people with vaginas need a pee style. Just stick it in, pee it out. You could probably.
You don't think they're using pee styles?
No. As I'm getting back into riding, I'm going to attempt to use a pee style while pedaling.
Oh, I'll be there to take the photos.
Yeah.
So you perverts can check it out.
Yeah.
On ronsbikesblog.com.
ronsbikes.onlyfans.com. Yeah.
that's a good segue into
my first ride.
The real life report back. Namdal Arya Tenzin has gone for a bike ride. Yes, folks, I'll clap for that.
It's been a while. Like I said, with the Tour Divide stuff, I either go all in, like I had nothing to really like train for. I just have not had like any big goals. And without that, I've gotten into other stuff. I've gotten into gardening. I've gotten into organizing the warehouse, you know, like other stuff, spending time with family, seeing friends, all that stuff that I just haven't been riding.
I gotta say, you delved into cyclocross a little bit last year.
Yeah, I did 2 cyclocross races last year, which was really
last fall.
Fun. Mm-hmm. But then I left because they banned trans athletes because these were UCI or not USAC.
USA Cycling.
Yeah, which is similar.
I mean, shout out to Jeremy Brazil and Richard Sachs, who are the organizers or part organizers of our local cyclocross racing series here.
Project Mayhem Cyclocross here in Connecticut.
We have like 6 or 7 races.
Because I talked to Jeremy about that last year. I was like, right. Oh, it's such a bummer that...
And
you know,
they are no longer USAC.
And he was like pissed too.
Yeah.
He was no longer USAC, so
trans athletes can race.
He's like, this is such bullshit. They're giving us nothing and they're giving us like.
And the races are going to be a lot cheaper this year. It's going to be like $30 instead of $60 or whatever it was. So USAC can suck it.
Suck it, Sack.
Suck it, Sack. You Sack? No, you suck Sack.
You can suck Sack, but Richard Sacks is a cool guy. Richard Sacks is the Sack we like, but you Sack is the Sack we don't like.
Oh, who Sack? You talking to me? You
Sack? No, you Sack or my Sack? Oh, no, I'm talking about Richard Sack.
Not my Sack. I'm an ally.
Okay, we're all allies here on this show. The ally wagon.
So, yeah, so you were talking about your first ride.
It was great. Ronnie and I on Fridays do...
Starting this Friday.
Yeah. Like in the summer. It is summer. Feels really, really nice. The big flowers are out now. Mm-hmm. We have peonies blooming and all
those
of
are
these
blooming
like,
everywhere. Blooming onions all around.
Yeah. Yeah. Inside the woods, we have all of those pretty flowers that come from the mountain laurel. Like Connecticut's is the mountain laurel
flower.
State flower.
Very geometric.
Gorgeous. Yeah, it's 3D.
Beautiful flower.
Anyway, great time to be riding. I think that I'm going to go flat pedals for a little bit because it's for me with ADD. It's like coming back into the house to grab another thing because you've forgotten it is
I think ADD is overused a lot these days, but folks, Aria is the poster
whatever,
child.
Whatever. He's the centrist.
You're the poster child for ADD.
I'm definitely. Wait, what were we talking about? exactly.
I just want our listeners to not roll their eyes at ADD, ADHD. This person.
Listeners can do whatever you want.
Yeah, they can
do
whatever
they
want.
Them. This you roll person, your eyes, you flip us off, yeah. Whatever. It's okay. We can't see you. You are in your safe space. But yeah, so, I think flat pedals and just like, because I got super into, you know, I started watching the pro races and then I thought like, oh, I have to be somewhat like that, and it's kind of ridiculous because it's like we're on different planets.
Every cyclist has that moment. If you watched any sort of like professional ranks of the sport, you get it. You again, you're like, yeah, I'm going to do that, and then you do it a few times, and you're like, oh god,
this seems like a lot. This is why pros are always crying when they win something because they have to work so hard.
Why they
and
usually
that's not
quit
me.
Cycling when they quit it's cycling and gain 50 pounds the second,
which
they
is fine. Which is absolutely fine. And I totally get it. But yeah, I think I'm going to go flat pedals. I'm going to do like rides to get ice cream and rides because I want to check on a tree that I really like in the woods, like close to us.
Which is where it's at. Like that's how you get into practice, like of doing your ride and that ride being restorative rather than like a chore that you're doing.
Yeah. It did start feeling like a chore.
If you're ready to go and don't have to get anything ready, you just hop on your bike, just fill up your water bottle, hop on your bike.
And have a couple of snacks.
Yeah. Head out into the woods. Mm-hmm. Take it in. It's a beautiful way to end the day, especially in the summertime when you have hours of daylight after your work day is done.
Yeah. So getting back more into that, I think it'll be really good for my mental health because...
And mine too, because I miss riding with you.
Aww.
I mean, on Friday, we just cruised down to every first Friday of the month in Chester, our the town that is across the river.
I think most towns do that.
Probably most towns do it, especially if they're like artistic leaning. There's a lot of galleries in Chester. So we rolled down to the ferry landing where I had restashed my canoe after melting some zip ties on the bottom of it to repair a few holes. I saw it on YouTube. It held up.
It worked.
We put our bikes.
Canoe didn't sink.
Yeah, we put our bikes. You could check out my Strava you've probably seen several photos of that canoe with our bikes on it going across the Connecticut River on Instagram.
It's my most favorite part of summer.
Oh, it's awesome. So we paddle across after dinner, get to the ferry landing on the other side, take our bikes out, stash the canoe, ride into downtown Chester, which is only maybe a mile and a half from the canoe landing there. And we met up just randomly with like all of our friends, like a lot of our friends in the area. There's probably like eight of us at the end of it. Had some ice cream at Honeycomb, which is an incredible ice cream spot if you've never had it in downtown Chester. And then we went over to
Little House Brewery.
And we all sat because even though Chester is the most happening place in our area, pretty much closes, everything shuts down at 8:30.
8:30.
So we all just kind of hung out and
that was really
and
nice.
Darren Larkin of Larkin Cycles came by with
his
partner.
And
I mean, it was so
Kimon
cool.
Yeah, Brian G.
Brian,
G
so cool.
And
Troy
Balls
down there. It's just cool.
My favorite people.
I love it when everything can kind of come together like that and you feel like you live in Stars Hollow.
And then we go back and there's two boys on, like, as we were loading our bikes back for our commute home in the dark. we saw them fishing, which is, like, so cute when you see kids fishing in the summertime. And they were kind of hanging out at the ferry while we're loading up our bikes. And they're like, I said, hey, like, beautiful day or whatever. And they were like, yeah, we just love being outside. And, like,
the best thing was
rather be outside than playing video games. It was, like, so cute.
Cool. But it was a cool, like, futurist. It was like, you know, like mom and dad and then the kids, essentially. Yeah. We were there riding our pedal bikes, smoking weed the old-fashioned way with a lighter and a pipe. And these guys roll in on their Sauron electric motorcycles, and they're vaping.
They're called Saurons?
Yeah.
Yikes. So we know what team they're on. Yikes.
And so they're vaping, but we both respected, I thought, both sides. It was like, at first, I thought they were going to bully us. I thought they were going to bully us, and I was kind of scared.
Ron's traumatized.
Yeah, I'm traumatized by people that age. And you struck up conversation and they ended up being really cool.
I'm not afraid of
bullies.
Not at all.
Yeah. Being one yourself when you were young.
I bullied the bullies. Like, when you are a poor person who had to learn English coming to one of the richest states in the country.
I think we were the richest state back then.
And it was. And you build up a strong sense of, like, justice and sticking up for yourself. Especially because I grew up with, like, a sister who loved me and told me that I was perfect and did nothing wrong, and brothers who taught me how to fight and to defend myself. So, yeah, I do have a strong sense of justice, and I hate bullies, and I will call them ugly.
These kids knew it.
Yeah.
They knew it, so they respected. And they wished us farewell across the river. And we said,
kids are fine.
Yeah, they are.
They
were like, I go hiking all the time. I just got back from Alaska.
Yeah.
And we're like, sick. And then
my sister lives where you go. Anyway.
Yeah, then we pushed off. It was kind of muddy, so I had to give us a few good pushes, like gondola style. It's a tidal river, the Connecticut River. And
I love that river.
I'm telling you, folks, picture one of the most beautiful lower river valleys in the world. It does it without being too showy. You know, it's just a river with some bluffs on each side. Not much. There's a castle. There's not much else to look at other than woods and bald eagles, I'm telling you. So we paddle across at night. I love it. There's not much going, you know, the river is so quiet at night. You could hear the peepers on each side, the frogs. You could see the lights of the castle. And then you could see the campfires of people camping below the castle. So it was kind of like a medieval look to it as we were coming across. But
yeah.
And then as we drifted closer to the landing on the Hadleim side, I got tangled in somebody's fishing line.
Who didn't even care.
They didn't even care.
They didn't even acknowledge us.
That guy is still there, no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like 72 hours of fishing straight. This guy has just been parked down at the ferry landing with his like 10 lines in the water.
Oh, man.
But that's salt life, folks.
I love summer.
Loving summer. So that was a great first ride back, and I was so happy that we made that happen, and I can't wait to do it again next Friday, especially with all of these subscribers that we're getting paying their $3. I mean, that is half an ice cream.
We've already spent our ice cream money this month.
Yeah, we spent our ice cream this month, folks, so help us get an ice cream this week.
So I want that baklava topping, which is extra.
Yeah, that's extra.
Real
life report back. I've been riding, folks.
I don't know about you.
I don't know about all you out there, but I've been riding. Been putting in these miles.
He's been very boastful about it too.
Well, you know, it's something that I pride myself on, putting in these miles, trying all these bikes, coming up with all these ideas. You know, everything that you see on our website comes from rides that are just like this. things that I love to do and love to think about.
So much experience. So, Jandy, tell us about your Century of the Storm.
Century of the Storm.
Not Storm
week.
Of the Century, but oh, Century
yeah,
of the
right.
Storm.
That's right.
Remember?
Play on words. I like that.
Yeah.
So I had a kind of a slow winter, even though I did go out to Arizona in the van with plans for putting in some big miles, getting some big training camps in mm-hmm. in the grav down there. I injured my hip and was not able to. So I am way behind on my mileage and getting into kind of like long riding shape. Because for me, folks, the best use of a day is being out on a bike from sun up to sundown with your friends. Like that is, I mean, that is.
I can agree more.
That's like being a grown up kid. You know, you think about what we used to do when we were kids. I'm speaking for myself, was ride my bike around with my friends all day long. Mm-hmm. What felt like it was all day long. I don't know. We definitely weren't putting in 100 miles, but it was there. We were putting in the saddle time, chamois time.
Mm-hmm.
Chamois yeah. time in our tighty whities. So, you know, it's, you know, I think it's only natural that we still love to do that when we're older and in a more adult way by doing, you know, 100 milers. We like to build up to 150 miles, try to get one of those rides in per year when the days are this long. But so my first century of the year, I usually get a few in Arizona before I come back here, was just last week. And some guys that were at the Nutmeg Spring Fling who had stayed over, camped down in our field, were like, hey, we want to get in on some roadie centuries also. So I was like, oh, come on down. We're going to do one and this, that. And so
You chose the best day to do it.
It looked clear all week, but you know, as the day got closer, you know, it had been like warm. It had been like in the 80s, and then there was one day on the map, the one day on the forecast, and it happened to be the one that we had planned to get a bunch of people down here and camp over the night before from upstate New York and New York City. So we were kind of locked into it, and we had 8 people that were going to go. So that particular day was going to be maybe like maximum temp of 50, but an average of 45 with 55 mile an hour gusts, not necessarily where we were leaving from, but where we were riding to. And so it was actually a nor'easter. So it started raining immediately when we left my barn. Like it was kind of clear. The warmest part of the day was when we were leaving.
It was a frightful day.
And it was, we had some folks camping in the field the night before, and we were all just kind of stirring and being like, well, are we going to do this? And then we were all like, yep, all right. And we left, and it's, and I had been talking to Franco the few weeks before. I was like, I don't ride in the rain. Like, I don't, if it's raining when I'm leaving, I don't do it. And we were like, yeah, that's the way to do it. But no longer than a week later, I'm like, all right, it's raining. Let's do 100 miles.
And let's go to the gustiest part of the state.
And so that was the.
You saw some trees falling down.
Oh my God.
Sparks.
First 3 hours it poured on us. We got soaking wet. And then the temperature dropped to 45 and it got super windy. We just couldn't stop. You know, mm-hmm. You just can't stop when it's that temperature and you're wet.
So last week you heard about Taylor's trauma bonds on.
Right. It was the same day as Undone. We wanted the trauma bond too. Yeah. And so I remember at one point we got underneath the highway underpass and kind of made, we were like, okay, well, it's still pouring rain and what are we going to do? And we're like, we're going to stay the course. And we all stayed together for, you know, the rest of the whole, I mean, we had a few kind of, you know, a few minor meltdowns, but everyone for the most part stayed together the rest of that ride. And we came across numerous downed trees onto power lines that were actually smoking, like on the live
check
wires.
Check out Ron's photos if you follow him on Strava. It's really something else.
I should put those up on the blog too, because it was, I had never seen that before. You know, I'd never seen trees actually smoking on power lines.
God,
you're like, holy
so
shit.
Scary.
And there would be like townspeople walking by the roads and be like, yeah, it's a little something up there. You know, like no big deal really. Mm-hmm. And then we come through, we're like, holy shit. And then we came to numerous ones like that where we had to go under power lines that were only inches above our heads. Pretty perilous, you know.
I'm glad I didn't know about any of this until you came back home safely.
But that's the thing about riding. It was a 106-mile ride with like 9,500 feet of elevation gain. It's very hilly around here. People don't realize how hilly Connecticut is once you get away from the shoreline.
It's all hills.
But it's all hills. It's just up or down. There's no flats. So you don't get affected by the wind. You know, wind is not a factor on our rides, especially in the summertime when the trees are leafed out. It blocks all the wind. It's kind of cool. You just hear it above you and you could see the trees swaying above you. And I love that. Love hearing the wind and seeing the wind, but not feeling the wind.
Yeah.
And
I do think we get spoiled with the lack of wind.
I cannot do wind. I could do every other condition. I'd rather ride in the rain than ride in the wind.
1,000%. Yep.
And nothing demoralizes me more than riding in the wind. And that's why I don't attempt tour divide type stuff. Like I just know that about myself.
Yeah.
I know I've ridden across, you know, I've tried to tour across the country a number of times before. I know this enough about myself now to know that I'd rather hitchhike or get on a train. Like I'm not doing that. You know, I'm not putting myself through that. I'm not making myself hate riding the bike.
Ooh.
You know, I'm telling you, the wind is the worst.
Yeah.
You know, we tie this back into Eddie Merckx. You know, that's how in Belgium and the Netherlands, it's totally flat, but they have wind. Mm-hmm. And so for those riders to train when they're young, especially, you know, when they're not going to altitude camps as amateurs, they are riding into the wind to simulate climbing.
The wind does make you crazy. You know, the Count of Monte Cristo? Yeah.
I know the sandwich.
All right.
All right. So that was my Century of the Storm. We completed it all together, and it was great. I can't wait for the next one.
It was Summer's first century.
Oh, Summer.
A group ride friend who's sadly going to leave us.
She's a student at the Lime Art Academy from Arizona. Unfortunately, I mean, she's one of the, if not the best addition in recent memory to our ride group as far as overall demeanor and riding prowess. We are unfortunately going to lose her back to the West.
It's okay. Midsummer. Everyone needs to go West at some point in their lives.
Yeah. So good. Great job, Summer. Amazing. Didn't even flinch. First century. It's
proud
just
of
like,
everyone.
Yeah, that was my sin. Okay. Didn't even mention it. It's just like, yep.
Until the end. So we love summertime.
On that note of positivity, let's get right into negativity.
Negative.
Tell them why you're mad.
Wow. Tell them why you're mad. Since we're talking about the Tour Divide and it's starting this on Friday, you know you're going to see rigs of the Tour Divide.
Oh, my God. Not only probably the most triggering time of year for us as alt cyclists, but also it really loads us up with zingers. You know,
yeah.
Like we could talk about it for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I get nauseous looking at these photos of these bikes. But the thing that always gets me where I'm like, I look at the bike and I'm like, that emoji face with a green face. Is the long top tube bags, you know, like the smaller ones that are like the gas tank, Revelate has called them, like they were the first ones to do it. So that thing is called the gas tank, and that's what I'll call them because originality matters. So they have extended those, so it goes all the way across the top of the top tube.
Any way you can use dead space on these bikes. I mean, I'm personally... It's the short gas tanks that get me. The long ones don't bother me as much.
Oof. But, because it doesn't break up the line as much.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess we should preface all of this with there's something about riding the Tour Divide, namely the Grand Depart, that brings out what you had Jeffs. Is that what you're calling them?
Yeah.
There's a certain, I mean, you may be among them, folks. And you know, so
an archetype.
They're usually
that shows
freshly
up.
Retired or going through like a midlife crisis, 50s to 70s, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're all named Jeff. They're all on a Warbird.
or something that Salsa makes. Salsa.
Something that Salsa makes,
and they strap their – they're trying to do, you know, the days of touring. Even though you could do a pannier setup and stuff on the Tour Divide, there's not much single track on
some
the route.
Some do. There is some single
track. Some people would consider it a long gravel race. you know, but there's some sections of single track where you probably wouldn't want panniers, but you know, there's, that would have been like the way that people would have done it, you know, 20 years ago. But now modern bikepacking gear is kind of given, and modern bikepacking gear is designed without any thought of aesthetics. Like there's no, like, this is what's going to look good. There's, it's just, well, how, what is the most lightweight, efficient to carry, not necessarily the efficient to get things out of my bags. What is the ugliest way that I could carry my shit on my ugly ass bike with the handlebars that are like a foot taller than my saddle and then another aero bar on top of that? And how can I ride something that Bicycle Pubes has drawn? And that's what people go for. That, well, I mean, there are nicer looking, like if there's a route that is more single track centric, like you'll get a much, you can only carry so much on a mountain bike. So you get some better looking things. Oh, that's a beautiful, this is all grand. We're looking at bikepacking.com right now. We're looking at, of course, Good Day is going to do a nice one. Shout out some friends, but you know, it's, that's Chris. That's a great bike. So, you know, it just brings out the worst in just about everything that comes from packing your stuff, stuffing your stuff in your stuff and strapping it onto your bike. I mean, it is, you can't do it any uglier than these rigs of the Tour Divide. So when that's you do see these roll out, that's why we made the Fabs chest.
Yeah, because it's like you do need a lot of stuff and you literally can't dangle everything. Not only is it dangerous, it's going to get caught on stuff. It's also just like things that clank around at some, I mean, you do need some clanky things to keep the bears away.
That's where the dangling mug and sport, tie sport.
Yeah.
People think you're just dangling for fashion, but you're dangling to keep the bears away.
Yeah.
It becomes like a little bell.
Yeah. Yeah. And like,
just don't drink out of that mug.
I know, right? So it's literally just around. You can get some
I feel like that dangling mug could have been like in like the alt cycling call sign back, you know, back 5 to 10 years ago.
Yeah.
That mug dangling was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
That was like how you knew your people.
Oh, people are still dangling mugs.
They're still dangling.
Let me tell you.
Yeah. It's still dangling.
Yeah, still dangling in 2026.
But post Giardia.
Oh, please don't get Giardia.
This is going to be some really – so what we're mad about, it's not – is it mad or just because we do look? We willfully go onto these websites and look at these rigs just so that we could look at the car wreck. The faces of death.
I haven't looked at them for a while because it's that upsetting. You know, I'm a Libra. I love beauty. I love flow. I cannot see these bikes. Like, there's got to be a point, right, where you, like, this bike becomes your lifeline.
It's all you're looking at.
It's
for every day.
It's everything that you need to travel, survive. It's everything. Why does it look like that?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And you know you're taking photos of it to send to your friends and your family back home. Do you want them to just laugh at you?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if they have any sense of...
This isn't a Miyazaki cartoon, okay? Like, this is real life.
This is real life.
You cannot capture the light of Miyazaki's illustrations.
And you're
talking about Castle in the Sky.
You're taking photos of this, of your rig of the Tour Divide, not only submitting it to the world by sending it to these websites, but you're sending it back to your family that you're probably had to convince that you were worthy of this trip and that you wanted to do it. And you're having your midlife crisis. Well, this is instead of me buying a Ferrari, or I'm not getting a boat.
I'm gonna dangle this bag in the middle of my aero bars,
I'm gonna put a picture of my wife right in the middle of the aero bars, so that when I nod out in the middle of the night, my face lands right on it.
And we have a little keys.
I don't know. So you know, anytime there are ugly ass bikes, especially what would be considered alt bikes, going out into the world. Like
it
gives us a bad rap. You know, this is front facing here, everybody. You know, is this what you want people to know and remember us by? No. And that's why we are mad. So.
And then madness over.
Madness over. We're happy again. So I guess it's a good time to start.
We're going to wrap it up here, folks.
We got a new segment. I'll let you introduce it.
Yeah. So we tend to talk about the podcast that we listen to throughout the show. So I figured that to wrap up, we'll have what's in the bike stand. Ron, being our family mechanic, what's in the bike stand?
It's really a question of what isn't in the bike stand right now. Maybe a problem that I have. It's, you know, I do a number of customer builds, not only with our own bikes that we offer, but a lot of people send me in Rivendells and things like that to build up for them. And generally, it's people just want me to build the bike as I would build it for myself. Mm. I have them answer a few questions on their riding styles and their and how they like their body to be positioned, or I have them send in photos of their old bikes, and then I kind of extrapolate from that what I think they should be on. So it's kind of like a process, I should say, all of my custom builds, because oftentimes I am making up my own component groups, you know, using people want to rely on my expertise of mixing and matching, you know, Shimano and Campagnolo and Suntour, things like that.
Deep custom.
Deep because eBay. It's a lot of deep eBaying. It's a lot of trying things for the first time, seeing if they work. And oftentimes even trying things for the third or fourth time, they may not work. It's just tuning, you know, it's constant tuning and tinkering. So
do you have the patience for it?
I have the patience. It's something that I really like doing. So I've had Fred from down the road. I've had his orange Evu in the stand for months now. Just right now, it's got everything. I mean, this bike is sick. I can't wait to, I'll do a video on it once I do have it finally built up. But
it does look really good so far.
Yeah, it's a 29er mountain bike that we did. I had it. He gave me a photo of his surfboard that he liked and said he wants a bike to match the surfboard.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so I was like, okay. And so it was all gray and mango colored. So I got a bunch of just like beautiful mango and orange anodized bits on it, including like a Garber crank and of course, Paul cantilevers, all with like good gray and orange anodized stuff. Ooh. The mango Chris King headset and seat collar and so forth. So gray tires, of course. It's just going to look totally sick. So the thing I'm waiting on right now is it's a 27.2 seat post, and PNW Components is not doing the dropper post in 27.2, the silver one. And this bike needs a silver seat post. I mean, Fred wants a dropper, so I've got to de-anodize a Kashima coated Fox or whatever SL dropper post. And I can only get like more environmentally friendly oven cleaner around here, and it just wasn't strong enough to strip this thing into silver. So working on that for a little bit longer. I think that one's going to be done maybe in a week, 2 weeks. We'll check in next week, see if it's still there. I got another customer out in Portland, Oregon, who's having me build up an orange Rodini. So a lot of orange here.
I do love the orange and gray combo.
Oh, it looks great.
And like the lavender and gray. Yeah, the gray and a fun color combos these days.
Yeah, I agree. They look really good, especially if it's like a pastel. It's got to be a pastel.
Yeah, like a pink, a purple, or that orange.
Orange is really good. So this orange Rodini has a cream head tube. So I'm bringing in a lot of creaminess to the build. You know, it's this one I haven't put too many parts on yet. I've got pretty much everything there. I'm trying to keep everything black off of these builds, which is always a challenge. You don't want to have any black in the build to stand against the all silver motif as far as the components go. It's kind of like abrupt when something like that happens, especially when you're using gray tires. That's one of the great things about Ultra Dynamico race casing tires with the gray tread compound is that you can do an all silver bike, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
So there's that one. And then I'm also working on a new CR1, one of our road bikes for my mom for her 73rd birthday.
Aww.
It's all her favorite color is blue. So I did, it's kind of like a teal blue, powder blue it's going to be an upright bar. She's got really bad arthritis. She rides every day, but she's been on a Romancer for the last 8 years that we built her up so she could do the Tour Divide with us. And when she turned 65. So she's
that
had
was a summer of 65.
Summer of 65, she kept saying. And so my mom is awesome.
Shout out to Mary Jane Engel.
So, you know, so on that one, I'm doing electronic shifting. because her arthritis is so bad. She's having trouble shifting.
It's a really good idea.
So I'm doing electronic shifting on an Albatross bar, of course, rim brakes, and it's going to be a speedy machine. I've got a lot of Blue Anno. I did a White Industries order for her, so it's all White Industries blue stuff, including the hubs, the C-collar, the headset, and I did one of their one-by square taper cranks with a blue with the blue self-extracting cap on it. So yeah, that
one's
true blue for the blue blood. And I've been loving the Ergon carbon leaf seat posts.
Mm.
I don't know if you noticed that on my mountain bike, but I got her one of those with a Brooks C17 carved. That's the carbon one. And that's
going to
be.
She's vegan. She doesn't like leather.
Yeah, right. So it's going to be a sweet bike for MJ. So be on the lookout for that. Or if you're near Shoreline Clinton, be on the lookout for MJ taking your qualms.
Definitely the local legends. Whoops.
So
Mary Jane Engel just nabbed your local legend title. Yep. You're going to have to go back, Joe Hoover.
That's an inside joke there. But that pretty much wraps it up for what's in the stand. This what's in the bike stand segment is ever present because there is always something in the bike stand. And I only got to half of what's in the bike stand there. I mean, I got my Atlantis up and running again for the first time in what seems ages. I know you cringe when you hear me talk about my Atlantis. It's all in good fun, but
because I wanted Atlantis, so I always like use derogatory terms about other Atlanti because I'm just jealous that I don't have one.
So the rebuild of my Atlantis, I put one of the Rivendell Silver Rapid Rise derailleurs on there. The
OM1. Gross. Fucking disgusting.
Disgusting. So, it looks great. It looks great, folks. And I took it out for a ride yesterday with Troy before band practice, and I got a freshly waxed chain on there. That new derailleur, I had broken an axle again on that bike in the rear, so I replaced the rear axle. Thing was running pretty smooth. I put on some Brute Ultra Dynamico Brute 700x53s JFF casing instead of Mars, so it could roll a little bit quicker. I think I'm going to go back to the Mars because the knobs look so much cooler on that
bike.
They
really do, yeah. They really do.
But, I mean, the shifting, I have some modified Simplex retro friction shifters mounted to Paul thummies on the handlebars. And so the shifting, the rapid rise shifting with the wax chain, long wax chain, because it's a long tail riv.
Yeah.
I think everyone needs to have at least one long tail riv in their collection, in their all bike collection. So I feel like that's a must have. I don't know. I talk trash from time to time on the long tail rivs because the short ones are, I don't know, you know, it's just much more normal. And I don't think you really, you know, the long, I don't know. I should go into this in another episode, but, you know, it's kind of the long rear end is kind of, I don't know, it's just long. You need extra chain, a lot of extra chain suck, things like that. But anyway, this bike has never shifted better. In the 8 years that I've had it. So it's, I'll do a long-term review on that derailleur after I have ridden it for longer than a day. But first impressions are pretty sweet.
Very good. Get your two chains.
Get your two chains. I think you get that up from Rivendell.com or from Soma.com.
Oh my gosh. Two Chains was originally called Titty Boy. All right, ADD.
Six foot five.
Easiest.
So, yeah, you could two chains. We're referring to the two chains that you need for a long tail riv. It's really like a chain and a quarter, but, you know, two chains, baby. You need more than one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well.
Goodbye, folks. Titty Boy.
Folks, it's been really good hanging with you here this morning. Namdal, my beautiful lover, it's been really good hanging with you this morning. Oh, I want to say, like, keep sending in those questions and things like that, too.
Yeah, we'll do an episode where
I just answer the questions.
Do the question and answers.
So We're getting your questions. I love reading your questions. We haven't had time. I feel like, I could just respond to these via email, but it's much more fun when we elaborate, I'm sure. So we will do an episode, maybe it's next episode, who knows, where we will answer these questions. We should probably get to one sooner rather than later so we don't Don't get too behind. But so keep on sending that stuff in. Keep on sending us some money for ice cream too, folks.
And keep tuning in.
Keep tuning in to WKY
Jelly.
On your AM/FM dial. We are out for the week, folks. Actually, we're not out for the week. We've got a lot of shit to do.
I need to ship a bunch of bags.
We released some new bags on Friday, and there is a ton of shipping to get done. And I've got a lot of bikes to ship, too. So we better get to it on this Monday morning, because it's already 11:30 a.m. here in Nutmeg Country, in the beating heart. Off to work. I hope you are either off to work or off to some play, folks. Maybe it's your summer vacation already. We just want to thank you for tuning in to WKY Jelly. And we are out of here. I love you, everybody. Yeah.